This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki with another standout conversation recorded live in Las Vegas at CES 2026 in the C-Space studio. If you enjoy this kind of content, and we think you will, you can find the entire C-Space studio series on the CES YouTube channel. For now, enjoy this episode. It's one of the highlights from this year's show. Hey, welcome back to the C-Space studio. I'm James Kotecki here at CES 2026, and I'm here with Zeta Global's co-founder, chairman, and CEO, David Steinberg. David, welcome to the C-Space studio.
Thank you for having me, James.
Okay, so define Zeta Global for us for a second. What brings you to CES?
Well, first of all, we're at CES for the same reason a lot of people are. Everybody's here.
That's exactly right. Right? Yes.
But Zeta Global is a big data and artificial intelligence platform company, and our software helps very large enterprises more cost efficiently run their marketing and CRM.
And so tell me about what that looks like in practice. Give me some examples of how that might show up.
We help very large enterprises to better manage their marketing. So Forrester did a study recently that for every dollar that an enterprise spends on our software, we return them between $6 and $7 in revenue.
Wow.
So 6 to 700% return on investment by using our software and our data.
So does that imply that there's a lot of inefficiency that's happening before you show up? Tell me about where some of the biggest inefficiencies are that you're addressing.
Yeah. By the way, I wish I could say it's just us being exceptional. Yeah. That's part of it. But a lot of it is, and if you think to sort of the crux of artificial intelligence, a lot of people are talking about AI. Yeah. At Zeta, we started programming in artificial intelligence in 2017. Mm-hmm. So what we're really able to do is target an individual who's not just actively in market for our clients' products, but we can put other pivots on top of it by way of example. This person might be very interested in your product, but they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Or they won't get credit approved for it. Mm-hmm. We're also able, when you look at a lot of marketing today, a lot of it is just retargeting on the internet. So you click on something, you buy it, and they follow you around for 2 weeks with an ad. The crazy thing is, a lot of that is massive inefficiency because you've already bought the product. Hmm. Because we plug into our client's CRM systems, we know you just bought. So we remove you from the marketing to save our clients money. Those are just some examples.
And then how does that show up for the way that your clients are using it? Is it an LLM? Is it a report? Is it plugged into the CRM that they're already getting? Is it riding along? How do they actually experience it on their screen?
Yes.
Okay.
We have one user interface that allows a client to do three main use cases: customer acquisition, customer retention, customer monetization. And all of the activation for any digital methodology, whether it's programmatic, video, connected TV, mobile, social, all runs through our platform. And then there's one reporting interface that gives you attribution for every single spot you ran, all the way from the beginning of the journey to the purchase of the product.
You said that you've been doing AI for almost 10 years now. Are there things that you've learned about AI that other people haven't caught up to yet? Are there things that you know about it that people right now are just now finding out?
Yes, by a lot. And obviously I'm CEO of the company, I have to say that.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you think about the future of AI, and I think people forget this, 100 years ago, there were about 1,000 companies in America manufacturing cars.
Yeah.
Today there are 5. You're gonna see a very similar thing in large language models. They're gonna become very ubiquitous. There'll be a few major winners and there'll be a lot of people who do not win. At Zeta, what we have found is that the data that you feed into the algorithms is the biggest differentiator. And what we're doing is we're taking our clients' first party data, we're merging it with our first party data, and the algorithms are learning off that in a very private environment that never has any data exhaust. So we're actually on our 4th version of our AI agent studio. Our clients have built thousands of custom AI agents on top of our platform by using our agent studio. Most of our competitors are on V1.
Okay. Tell me about what the definition of agent is in this case. Because my impression is people use the term to mean different things, and different levels of autonomy are implied by that depending on who's saying it.
Totally. I mean, now some people are calling bots agents, right?
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, to us, an agent is performing a singular task as a component of a supply chain or a process chain. In this case, let's talk about marketing, right? So we might have one agent that will literally look at every customer you've created in the last 30 days, look at the 240 million Americans in our data cloud and say, this 2 million people are doing that exact same thing.
Okay.
Another agent might say, here's the best place to target them. The coolest thing about our platform is we've strung three full agents together. The third agent, in real time, is informing the first two with an attribution capability.
Okay.
So they're all getting smarter, and we just announced that we're rolling out Athena, which is our voice-enabled conversational super agent that'll control the entire platform. And yesterday, after the market closed, we announced that we've done a full partnership with OpenAI, and we're going to be integrating Athena as native to their application layer.
Okay. So with all of this, then, what is your philosophy around the role that humans will play now and in the future? I mean, are we getting to a point where it almost doesn't make sense, even for an expert in all of this, to do any of the work because the AI agents will just be better because they have more data and they're faster and they're smarter?
I think you're going to see execution be all AI driven. Hmm. I think as it relates to strategy, as it relates certainly to customer relationships, I think you're going to continue to see humans very, very focused there. I think as AI evolves, and I think it's going to follow a similar pattern to Moore's Law, we're going to see a true doubling of AI compute every 18 months. I think you're going to see it taking on more function and more tasks where humans really are mission critical, other than in strategy and customer relationships, is in highly regulated industries where you're focused on financial services, health and wellness, insurance.
Where now, hallucination is worse.
Well, where it's massively regulated and could be a major problem. Now, of course, what are those three things? Healthcare, financial services, insurance. They're number one, two, and three in GDP in our country. So it's humans are going to be involved for longer than I think most people think.
Tell me about generative AI and what you think the current state of the ability of generative AI to do creative and how people are responding to that is.
Yeah, I think generative AI is just getting started. I mean, if you think about it, you've got large language models and you've got small language models. We really believe in mid-sized language models.
Okay.
And I think that's where generative can really excel. I think the real tipping point for generative AI is going to be the combination of quantum computing and generative AI, where you're going to be able to get, I believe, 10 times smarter, 10 literally orders of magnitude smarter when quantum has AI sitting on top of it.
Okay. In what sense, can you give our audience a quick definition of what quantum means in this case?
So quantum computing, quantum computing is the move from linear binary coding to non-binary, where today all we're doing is speeding up processing power. And it's fast, right? I mean, compared to the 1950s, you know, processing
power. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. But it's still linear. It has to, you know, if then. A quantum computer can move in multiple directions simultaneously and come together with one solution. So it's able to do things that today binary machines can't do.
When you look at how consumers react to all of this, what are you learning from how consumers interact with LLMs, interact with the advertising that you're helping to do?
I think consumers are interested in better information. And I think consumers are interested, if they're going to see marketing, they want to see marketing that's more relevant to them. And I think artificial intelligence is really the next leap. At least it has been for us. I mean, to put it in perspective, if you look at our business, we've grown it on a compounded growth rate of over 30% a year for the last 3 years. Grown profits by greater than 50% compounded and free cash flow by greater than 75% compounded. That's because of AI.
Yeah.
You've literally seen artificial intelligence change the game inside of the way Zeta operates.
Does it feel like science fiction to you, any of this?
Every day. Like, the stuff that I get to do and the stuff that I get read in on is just unbelievable to me. But if you think about it, people ask me all the time, James, what was sort of the moment for AI, right? And to me, it was the launch of ChatGPT, right? Which is why I was so excited about our new partnership with OpenAI. But that was the day that artificial intelligence went from science fiction to boardroom conversation. But they blend. The stuff we talk about is stuff that I used to see on Star Trek.
Yeah.
We're now doing that.
Certainly those conversations with the computer, right? That's one big part of it.
If you look at Athena, that's exactly what it is.
And it's interesting because when we think about what is the moment for AI, maybe that moment hasn't even happened yet. Maybe the real moment is something that you and I will be talking about next year or in 5 years, and we're certainly excited to have you back to have those conversations.
Well, a lot of people think that really once we get to singularity, that will be the big change. I actually think it's a little further off than people think.
We're going to do the Singularity Studio, maybe at a future CES.
That would be cool.
We'll agree with that.
David
Steinberg, co-founder, chairman, CEO, Zeta Global. Thanks for joining us in the CES.
Thank you for having me, James. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation from CES 2026. I know I did. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. So make sure you stay tuned for more insights, conversations, and content from CES 2026 and beyond. Please follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our C-Space Studio episodes are produced by Nicole Vitovich, Julia Ruxer, and Paige Morris, and recorded by Phelps Creative House, and edited by Phelps Creative House, too. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.